Good morning. This is Les Harms on behalf of the Adams County Historical Society, welcoming you to another Moment in Time, a segment of Adams County history. The Burlington Depot on First Street in St. Joe is a definite historical spot as far as Hastings is concerned. At the heart of the city of Hastings and its history, the Burlington Depot reminds us of the vital role the railroad played in the community development. For nearly a century, this depot has been the key point of entry and departure for people, capital, and freight that established Hastings as an economic center. And like most of Nebraska, the region's settlement was a product of social experiment on a grand scale by the government. In 1862, Congress passed the Homestead Act and the Railroad Act, and this was to encourage railroads to manage development of the West. The government allocated land to railroads along either side of a surveyed route, first 10 miles, then later to 20 miles. And the rail companies quickly developed a marketing strategy to attract farmers to buy this land. Well, because the Union Pacific was the first railroad to cross Nebraska, reaching Grand Island in 1866, with the exception of the Mifflin Homestead, almost all of Hastings was originally part of the Union Pacific land grant. But Adams County owes most of its development to the Burlington Line. In 1871, the Burlington and Missouri River Railroad Company survey crews cut through the county from the east to the west, platting towns just months ahead of laying track. The first Burlington train pulled into Juniata in June of 1872. When the St. Joe and Denver City Railroad built a north-south line later that year, it intersected with the Burlington and Missouri River Road at what became the site of the city of Hastings. With the convergence of these two major lines in Hastings, the town emerged into a regional economic center thanks to the visionary leadership that worked diligently to attract even more railroad development. In less than a decade, Hastings became a major hub with tracks running in five different directions. In 1880, the BNMR consolidated with the Chicago, Burlington, and Quincy Railroad, and was thereafter simply known as the CBNQ. By 1900, Hastings was considered the third largest rail center in Nebraska, with eight different lines operating in the city. It became apparent that the old wood-frame Burlington Depot, located at First Street and Bellevue, no longer befitted the Queen City of the West. Citizens and businessmen of Hastings began to dream of a depot that would reflect the progressive character of the community of Hastings. In 1899, the November 17th Hastings Daily Tribune informed its readers that Burlington officials have just purchased all the ground from Denver Avenue between the railroad tracks north to First Street. All the elevators and other buildings will be removed and switch tracks put in for the transaction of passenger business. The Tribune feels safe in assuring the citizens of Hastings that the Burlington officials will not slight this city anymore, and they will assist in building the handsomest depot in the state, with the exception of the one in Omaha. Well, for the Burlington Depot, they selected an architect by the name of Kimball, and he adapted the Spanish colonial revival style that was very popular from 1915 to 1925. In September of 1902, an article from the Hastings Tribune calls the building that was being built a magnificent structure of St. Louis gray brick, put up a cost of $70,000. Now, people, to put that in today's terms, $70,000 would today be the same as $2,468,000. Truly an expenditure for a city the size of Hastings. Considered by many an extravagance for the time, the 18-room depot included an express room, a smoking room, a ladies' room, a restaurant kitchen, a check room, and then, of course, a janitor's room, mail floor, agent's office, telegraph office, and conductor's rooms. Well, the main waiting room was brilliantly illuminated by 12 reflectors of copper and brass. The fixtures were a combination of gas and electricity. A beautiful white marble fountain rested in the lobby, and directly in front of that was the ticket office, the front of which was made of hammered iron. The lavatories of gray Tennessee marble, trimmed with nickel, the floors cement tile, all woodwork in solid oak, and the paintwork is hand-rubbed. A lunchroom located in the far east end featured a massive oak counter in the shape of a horseshoe and could accommodate almost 30 people. The entire building was heated by steam, and hot and cold water could be had in nearly every room. There were 225 incandescent lights about the building and made it a blaze of glory. Hastings people had to wait some time for a new depot, but this was one of the neatest and most modern depots for any city of the size of its country. Well, the 9th of September 1902, the Hastings Weekly Republican newspaper said that there would be 8 new telegraph instruments in the second story telegraph office with a full view of the tracks below. Hundreds of people were on hand to see the first passenger train stop and to leave the new station after it was opened on September 8th. Railroad executive Kimball Sr., who was the father of the architect, was not very pleased by the building. He thought it was an extravagance. Most people today would be surprised by the numbers of people and the volume of freight that came and left Hastings when the depot was constructed at the turn of the century. A promotional booklet published in 1891 said, with 11 diverging railroads, Hastings has the advantage afforded by 42 passenger and 75 freight trains every day. Let me repeat that for emphasis. 42 passenger trains, 75 freight trains every day. This included train loads of immigrants who were coming to settle the open prairie, politicians, performers, convention goers who would stay at the Clark Hotel after it opened in 1915. And so, to make it even more impressive, through those depot doors on First Street, we had Presidents Theodore Roosevelt, William Howard Taft, Harry S. Truman. We welcomed celebrities as diverse as Wild West showman Buffalo Bill Cody, Notre Dame football coach Newt Rockne, who was in town for a Hastings College clinic in 1928, and actor-singer Paul Robeson, who sang at the City Auditorium. At one time, the Burlington Depot maintained a fleet of 50 baggage carts to keep up with the demands of passenger luggage. Among the depot's patrons were men and women on their way to military service as well. The Hastings Tribune reported in 1917, the entire student body of Hastings College, with a number of members of the faculty, paraded downtown to the Burlington Station as an escort to 8 young men of the college who are departing for Fort Logan, Colorado, to enter the regular army. Photographs also from World War II show thousands of people lined up to bid troops farewell in 1941 and 1942. Well, early on Thursday morning, to bring it in a little more modern text, In 1962, the Burlington Depot was overrun with more than 680 Tiger basketball fans, high school students, and teachers who had boarded a chartered train for the state championship tournament in Lincoln, Nebraska. By the time the Great Northern Pacific and the CB&Q merged in 1970 to form the Burlington Northern Railroad, air travel and interstate highways had severely encroached on the railroad traffic. The postal traffic and the postal system no longer relied on the railroads. Greater numbers of trucks were luring freight business away. Railroad budgets were tightening, and the old depots across the Great Plains fell into disrepair. While the Burlington Depot lost much of its shine during this period, it remained an active railroad depot because of Amtrak that took over passenger service in 1971. Well, in 1996, the Dutton-Lincoln Company looked at the Burlington Depot and decided something had to be done. Through their realty company, they were able to purchase the Burlington Depot and proceeded with various grants and resources to restore the Burlington Depot to its original luster. The cost was projected to be over $1 million and included extensive work. Remember, we're talking about 8,300 square feet. It focused on the main room. They cleaned the brick walls with a dry soda blasting process. They replaced all the windows with energy-saving thermal panes, refinished the terrazzo floor. The high-beamed wood ceilings were restored to that rich, dark mahogany, and the three arches on each end of the main room were restored to their original splendor. So, Amtrak passengers service was relocated to the west end of the depot in October then of the year 2000. Much of the rest of the depot was used as a retail showroom for lighting and plumbing fixtures and also for cabinets for the Dutton-Lincoln Company. And so, the building not only reminds us of the individuals and the organizations that contributed to our past, it inspires us to look to our future with the same vision and the same energy. This moment in time has been a presentation of the Adams County Historical Society. We invite you to listen, to learn, and to please consider joining our society in order to preserve the history of our county. You can also visit the website, www.adamshistory.org. And so, once again, this is Les Harms inviting you, please tune in on the second and the fourth Friday of each month. Thank you for listening.